Welcome to the Sailor Noob Podcast, where a superfan and a noob talk about the original Sailor Moon episode by episode. I'm your host, Mikan Hana, joined by my co-host.
I'm the co-host, Caliban, and the world's more full of weeping than you can understand.
Whoa. And we're a couple of magical people ready to moon crisis make up this episode. Today we are talking about episode number 137, Ayakashi no Mori, Utsukushiki Yosei no Izanai in Japanese. Forest of Illusion, A Beautiful Fairy's Invitation, the English translation, and the English title, Phony Fairy.
That's not a fairy.
No.
A funeri. I don't think that works at all.
No.
You know, everybody's talking about moon. I want to talk about groom. That also doesn't work at all. I want to talk about grooming.
Yeah.
Let's I want to talk it. About, yeah, I know, heavy
I think
stuff.
We kinda have
heavy stuff to start off the show. I want to talk about, you know, something, stuff that's happening right now, and also one of the reasons that we get so upset about this show, which was made in a completely different cultural context, not to mention a different time, the Dark Ages, no, the 90s,
wow.
And also literally on the other side of the earth.
Yeah.
And so where kids are two years old are going down to the cigar store to get stogies for mom and pop.
Right.
But just the idea of, you know, grooming, not the fake grooming that conservatives accuse LGBTQ people of.
Right.
But the real life grooming of adults taking advantage of minors.
Yes.
And hearing about the Rick and Morty guy, you know. No huge surprise because
so frustrated with that.
Because, you know, unfortunately the laws are still infirm. And also there are things that like aren't illegal but are really crappy to do.
Right.
And so, you know, sometimes things fall through there, and so, you know, he's getting off. And now he's gotta tell everybody how wrong they were and how he's, you know, the record
vindicated.
Will be set straight. Yeah, he's gonna start golfing and looking for the real killers. We know. But you know, it's just like that's the kind of thing that we're talking about. And that's not what Sailor Moon intended.
Right.
But, geez, you guys, like, do you think that...
This is not...
Mr. Miyagi... is that racist? I can't tell. Just Mr. X, who wrote, like, an episode, looks back now 30 years later and goes, oh, boy, I can take that back.
Oh, that's a good question.
Not great.
Yeah. I mean, it isn't
it's
great.
It's a little weird now.
When
we thought, let's put a device that allows our creature to spy on this little girl while she's undressing.
It feels that way, doesn't it?
It's anime, man.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're like, oh my God, I have daughters.
Right?
Who have daughters.
Yes.
Because it's been 30 years.
Yes. I don't want them watching this episode that I directed because I'm embarrassed.
Right. You're not allowed to watch Sailor Moon.
Yeah.
I thought it was for girls. It's for girls who came out of a time machine from 1995.
Yeah, right.
So that's what we get uptight about.
Yeah, it's...
And I don't...
Look.
I can't tell you that I'm going to stop complaining about that.
I'm not making any promises.
If the show stops, then I can stop.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, I don't feel like I can just let these things keep going by.
Well, it's weird. I'm weirded out because it's like he's hiding in a little girl's dreams. It's clear that she's an innocent. She is like 6 or 7 years old.
It's not.
It is just the way that it's written, too.
Yeah.
You know?
He's telling her, don't tell anybody about me.
Yes.
He's giving her gifts.
Yes.
I mean, we don't have to go through the whole thing. He's saying
he wants to be her friend, too.
I just want to call it like I see it. That's all I'm saying.
I know.
So it's a depressing note to begin this episode on. We're going to wash it all away by making a lot of off-color jokes about it. But I just wanted to
have
a sit down with the audience.
Yeah.
I tricked them. I didn't tell them that we were doing that. But I want them to know that this is a serious issue. This is us on the couch at the end of the episode with the 800 number at the bottom.
Yeah,
just
right.
saying, you know, be careful who you talk to online. And if you feel like you're in a situation that you shouldn't be in,
yes.
You can talk to somebody, you know.
Yeah.
Talk to a parent. talk to another friend, call the cops. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Like, I know.
I mean, not if you're a Rick and Morty fan, but otherwise.
But it's like, what counts as evidence? Apparently, screenshots don't. I mean, like, look, okay, I know in this,
I don't,
if we need to get into the minutiae,
in this wonderful world of ours, and especially this wonderful country that we live on,
yeah,
in North America, it's, you know, city, county, state, government, there's all different laws, and some things are federal and apply everywhere, and some things are, like, fine in some places, some in the other. And
well,
like I said before,
sure,
sometimes you can just say stuff that's really crappy, you know, you can say racial
speech,
epithets or whatever, and it's not illegal.
Right.
But you wouldn't want speech to be illegal.
No.
Because I'd be in jail. But also because that's not what we want to put people in jail for.
No.
Put them in jail for doing things.
Right. And I guess I know, too, that like what he was specifically in court about was abusing an ex.
Physical abuse.
Yeah.
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 But we're not here to go through his whole case. But
no, I know.
Yeah,
but,
I know.
But there's lots of evidence of grooming out there if you want to go look for it.
Well, we're not his publicist or his anti-publicist.
I want to be his anti-publicist. I'd be a really good one. But yeah. Anyways.
But anyway, don't, when you write an anime in 1995, make sure you're not being spoken of in the same breath as
yes,
the Rick and Morty guy.
Yes.
I just a line. Or if you're writing one in 2023.
Well, Cal, can you give us a breakdown of today's episode?
Yeah, I would be delighted. We open in a bookstore where Chibiusa is browsing these books. She sees a book titled simply Fairy, which is in English.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what the hiragana is for fairy, but it's also not an autobiography of Roxy Music lead singer Brian Ferry.
No.
Unfortunately, because then it would be called Slave to Love. You can't escape it. No, it's a book of fairy illustrations, and as Usagi comes to get her, we see that she's entranced by the paintings, and she clearly wants to buy the book.
Mm-hmm.
And Usagi's like, well, we're leaving. You can't afford that book. And Chibi says, I'll get somebody to buy it for me. To which Usagi's like, what? And Chibi closes the book pointedly as we cut to the opening title card. We return, and Usagi and Chibi are walking down the street, Chibi with her fairy book in hand, and Usagi, 20,000 yen lighter.
I know.
It's a good use of a smash cut. Is this one of those coffee table books that's like, oh, it's Waterhouse's fairies or something like that?
It kind of seems like it, yeah.
I don't know if they have Barnes & Noble and Azuba Jaban, but one of those things.
I mean, they have something similar.
Put this
obviously
out there, dum-dum.
Yeah.
Put it on your coffee table. You look smart. Usagi is lamenting, I'm broke. You know, when we get home, you're paying me back for that book. But Chibi, engrossed in her book, is like, mm-hmm. Usagi says, don't read and walk. Mm-hmm. Usagi says, fine, I'm running off without you. And she does.
I know.
Mm-hmm. It's good stuff. It's old-time comedy.
It is.
Don't get used to it. Chibi continues to walk and read her book, and she abruptly runs smack into a dude who is also not looking where he was going. He's got glasses and a red baseball cap on, and he apologizes profusely. As Chibi starts to get up, she sees the inside flap of her book and the picture of the author who has glasses and a red baseball cap. And it's like really washed out for some reason. Just no defining features, like just completely white, like Snow White. Filtered all to hell. You've seen this, right?
Yes.
Our authors are an ugly bunch, huh?
Oh, my goodness.
It's either black and white or it's just like, this person died years ago. They're a ghost.
There's so many filters and effects on it and stuff. Like, yeah.
Anyway, it's weird. But Chibi can recognize him because he's wearing the exact same clothes. The fairy book, not selling well.
Aww.
She says, are you the guy who drew this book? We have to wait to find out because we smash to that night where Chibi is looking through her book in bed. She gets a call on her Pegasus phone. Pegasus says, whoa, what are you looking at? Is that a book of mugshots?
Oh my God.
Chibi says, it's a book I bought today, full of flowers and fairies. Pegasus says, some of those flowers look like the ones from my world. I've never seen any of those fairies before in my life, I swear.
God, oh my God.
And he says, those flowers are invisible to people from your world. I wonder if the author saw them somewhere. A lot of exposition from Pegasus tonight.
I know.
1-900 exposition. Sexy horses tell you what's going on in this episode. Call now.
Oh my God.
And you start to show hoof going brum, brum, on a rotary phone, just smacking on a rotary phone.
Chibi
says, Chibi says, he said he saw them in his dreams. So it was the author. I mean, we could guess.
Right.
But they that smash away from it.
They do.
A lot of weird smashes in this, and we'll talk about them in a little bit. We flash back to a park earlier today where Chibi is talking with the author. A lot of girls just talking with adult men this season. That's why we brought up what we said before.
Yeah.
Maybe old enough, not quite old enough.
What?
The game show Old Enough, which I bring up just about every other episode.
Oh, okay.
Where they send the kid out to
get the TV show.
I brought
show.
It up about five
yeah,
minutes ago.
Yeah, I didn't remember the name of it.
It's called Old Enough.
Yeah.
Although sometimes I call it, I could do it myself. But I don't think that translates.
I like that more.
It's a cultural thing.
Yeah,
the Japanese are like, I can do it for all of us together.
Oh my gosh.
This is a second location. That's all I'm saying.
Well, yeah. And then like Usagi's not there
Somebody,
either.
If he's like, come on, come to this park with me. Bad.
No.
If she's like, come to this park with me. It's worse somehow.
Yeah. Also not good. Yeah.
The author says in this flashback, are you interested in plants? What?
Is that some sort of euphemism? What's going on here?
And Chibi's like, no, I like fairies. This is a fairy book.
I thought that was strange, too. I was like, it's called fairy.
The author
I
says.
I had to go back and wait, be like, wait,
says,
it's called fairy, right?
That's great. You're the first person who's praised me for my fairy drawings. Now I'm just imagining his editor saying, this guy draws the most amazing pictures of flowers, but he will not shut up about fairies. I guess we just call the book fairy to make him happy. More cocaine? Sure. Chibi says, you've seen fairies? And the author says, no, but I know they're out there somewhere. I want to believe. He says, I see them in my dreams. They're really shy, though, and they don't show themselves often. And he's blushing?
It's weird.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Chibi, also blushing, says, would you want to marry someone who's like a fairy?
What is happening?
Like more than a friend? What? Fairies not generally seen as innately sexy, at least in the Western tradition. Unless we're talking Tinkerbell.
Mm-hmm.
Tinkerbell? More like Tinker Cake.
She's got a dump truck ass.
Wow.
You know, there's a reason for that. The model for Tinkerbell was a dancer named Margaret Kelly, who's an actress and a dancer. So she had like a lot of definition, you know, in her legs.
Mm.
Also, supposedly Disney based the design of Tinkerbell partly on Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, okay.
So that might explain why Tinkerbell has a Tinkerbadonk. We're waiting on an explanation from Pixar, but so far only silence.
Oh my God.
Ooh, that's some double bubble trouble for me and you.
Author, let's call him author. Author says, well, I've never even thought about that. He lied. He said, what would someone like a fairy be like? You know anybody?
No.
Do you have an older pink-haired sister? Chibi says, kind, able to become friends with animals and flowers. Two hams down the back of her tights.
Oh, my God.
Author says, I like what you're putting down. You know what? If I find someone like that, I will get married. Somewhere, a slightly younger Betty White has a hot flash.
Oh, my God.
Author says, just kidding. And they laugh. Should they be laughing?
I don't know.
He's just kidding.
Yes.
On the set of Golden Girls, Betty relaxes and goes back to hating Bea Arthur. We flash back to Chibi's conversation with Pegasus. So now we're in the present at night. This show
point.
Has literally moved forward like 1 hour.
Yeah.
In the first like 8 minutes.
Yeah.
And she says, Mr. Kitakata has a really cute personality. Okay. Put that on pause for a second.
Uh-huh.
His name is Kitakata.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Why? Oh, Kit Kat.
Woo!
Oh,
I did it!
Nice.
Where are the stickers? Pegasus says, well, yeah, I guess he does. Say, did he tell you where he lives?
What?
Weird author, gored in mystery slaying. Film at 11.
No.
Pegasus says, his dreams are probably full of beautiful flowers. Chibi says, delicious flowers.
Oh, my God.
Jim, we don't really understand anything about Pegasus at this point.
No.
Shouldn't we?
I know.
Chibi says, I wonder if I'll see him again and hear more fairy stories. And Pegasus says, yeah, say, let me come with you the next time you meet him. Oh, we'll go to the Pine Barrens.
Oh, my God.
When groomers collide.
Oh, no.
Aren't there like movies where like, this serial killer, he got in the way of the other serial killer.
I feel like, yes.
It's like, who do we root for? Wasn't David Tennant in a movie like that? Or no, somebody was going to rob him, but he's a serial killer.
Movie?
It was some direct-to-video thing, also a pandemic thing.
Okay, I have no idea.
Where they're going to rob him, and he's like, oh, no, you're in a serial killer's house now. Good luck with that.
I think so. Yeah. That sounds very familiar.
And somebody's always trying to fight Hannibal.
Yeah, don't do that.
They're having a serial killer fight.
Yeah.
Look out. He's going to make a violin out of you. Stop.
I know. Well, yeah, and Hannibal, it was all a whole bunch of serial killers.
At the Neon Bar, thank God, the rattle of ice welcomes us to another drink sesh with the Amazon Trio. Or duo, as it turns out, as only Tiger's Eye and Hawk's Eye are there to peruse their collection of potential victim photos, but nobody stands out. Tiger's looking for somebody to ignite his passions, and Hawk wants an older woman who will let him get away with any selfish request.
I was scared as to what that would be.
Let me play PlayStation for 5 hours. At a mall one morning in Glendale, Betty White looks up from strapping on her kids. Tiger is sickened by this, but Hawk says, first of all, young girls are broke. Wait a minute. These magic teleporting circus freaks need cab fare?
Apparently they do.
Is this the thing where he goes out and he's like, oh, I don't have, yeah, I left my wallet and my other pair of clown pants. Can you get this? He's been in some situation. You can't wear a hairnet with that hair.
No.
He's not washing dishes in the back, I'll tell you that much.
No, he's not.
Tiger says, yeah, but young women have such smooth, resilient skin. They don't bruise easily.
It's upsetting.
Then they argue about which smell better. But I'm going to cut right to the entrance of Fisheye, who says, what's this all about? Hey, this pic is cute. And they pick up a photo with their green scaled hands. I never noticed that before.
It's very noticeable in this episode. Yeah. I don't think it's been as noticeable before. It's a little disturbing.
Fish
but, yeah.
says, can I have this one? And we see that the picture is Kitakana.
Yeah.
Football cream.
Okay. It's football cream. It's football cream.
Tiger and Hawk are like, yeah, look, we're molesters, but like, heterosexual molesters.
Oh my God.
The fruit that we want is not bananas.
Whoa.
But Fish is over the moon. And check this. Check this out. Hawk says about Fisheye, I thought he was suspicious all the time. And Tiger says, it seems like it's true. Wow. They're putting homophobia into action, but also interesting because we talked about this before. We talked about Fisheye and how they're different and why we, as broadcasters for this show, decided to go with they pronouns.
Yes.
But I knew that this would be too thorny an issue for the new Viz sub. So I activated Translation Rewind to see how they sanded these edges down.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't.
I know.
Hawk says, I've had my suspicions for a while now, and Tiger says, this verifies it.
I was upset by that, too.
That's why I should maybe give them a little credit. It's not necessarily homophobic, but...
It's not. It's like, oh, I thought they could that be... maybe you might possibly be gay
They're
or
like,
something like that.
Okay. There was something that was bugging me. Now I understand. Like, it could be misgendering and homophobic, or it could just be them going like, what if you just like had one guy hand a dollar to the other guy? And the guy's like, come on.
Is that better?
Well,
I don't know.
Look, I don't know. The scene goes on and Fish says, oh, I'm in so much trouble. I wonder what kind of girls he likes. And Hawk says, what kind of, we all boys here.
I know.
And it's the same in the Viz sub.
I know.
And Tiger says, as if to reassure himself, yeah, we're boys. In the woods, Kit Kat is sketching some flowers, and Chibi comes up with Diana. Keep an eye out for mistakes here, Diana.
Oh, my God.
He says, you're the girl I met and had a 4-hour conversation with. Don't pretend like you don't recognize her.
I know!
Chibi said, I heard you came here often, so come here often?
Yeah. What?
Kitakata says, you shouldn't come in a scary forest all by yourself. I've got to walk back alone.
Oh, my God.
That's the punchline.
Oh, my God. No!
That's the punchline to a tasteless joke that somehow is still better constructed than this season. Chibi says, I'm not alone. Diana's with me. And Diana's like, meow. And Kit Kat says, your parents are probably worried about you.
You're just calling him Kit Kat now.
Applesauce. Break me out a piece of that applesauce. I don't think that's...
And man, he has no idea. Her parents are definitely worried about her, but in a different kind of way. He says, you should run along home. But Chibi's like, I just wanted to see you for a bit. Before this gets weirder, a flock of birds flies up, startling them. And through the trees, they see what looks like a hazy apparition of a woman dressed in a flowing gown. Mm-hmm. Kit Kat says, did you see that? And he runs off after the vision, leaving Chibi alone in the woods. Mm-hmm. So he's like, he should really be careful. Oh, gotta go. Diana says, it looks like he ran after something. Yes. Thank you, Diana. Yes. And Chibi runs after him, running after something. In the dark woods, Kit Kat continues to run after what he thinks is a fairy. He emerges at the shores of a brightly lit lake. And I don't know if this is like the park that they're usually in or what, but he's surprised that there's a lake here. He's like, what?
Which is weird.
He's also surprised to see a woman in a green dress seemingly standing on the waters of the lake. Chibi emerges from the forest and sees Mr. Kitakata walk into the water to reach the mysterious woman, and she can see the woman, too. Mm-hmm. As he gets closer, Kitakata sees that the woman has long, bluish-gray hair, and she appears as if within a shifting mirage. He says, what are you? And he stands transfixed. Later? You don't cut away from that.
I know.
Anyway, later, he and the woman are sitting against a log. You see?
Yeah.
That's a bang cut.
Oh.
They lock eyes. Let me describe a scene for you. It's a film. Two people, a man and a woman, lock eyes. She smiles. He's enraptured. Boom, cut away. Where do we go? They're smoking cigarettes in bed.
I know.
What happened in the cut? Banging. The bang cut.
Oh, my God.
He's just staring at her. They're sitting. Presumably they haven't banged, but they're sitting up against this log. They're reclining.
I know.
He's got a pocky in his mouth.
God. Stop.
The bang cut. He's staring at her, and she says, is there something on my face? Okay, we're moving on. And he says, no, they didn't bang. And he says, no, I was just thinking, what could you be? And she says, you know all about me. He says, what are we talking about? He says, are you really a fairy? She laughs. And as she responds, we hear a bell ringing. Mm-hmm. Diana is sniffing her feet.
I know.
Now we're getting into some weird territory.
We sure are.
We're going into weird overdrive. The woman leaps up like, a cat? As Diana continues to sniff her legs, and she thinks, Diana, what's up with this person? She smells delicious. Oh my God. Is it because she's fish eye?
Yeah, I think so.
Because she's part fish?
Yeah, I think so.
The woman says, I can't take it anymore. And she runs off into the woods. Mm-hmm. Sailor Moon.
I know.
The show's called Sailor Moon.
What is happening?
Later in H.R. Giger's bathroom.
Oh, my God.
Fisheye takes an evil shower. I mean, look, dude, it's like an organic shower pod. The
is
walls
really?
Are all like crenulated like a
thing. I did not notice that.
The shower head has 24 settings.
God.
It's shaped like a xenomorph.
No. Can you imagine how terrifying that would be? You're taking a shower and then you got like the shower head is just a xenomorph head.
I don't wonder what. No, the famous Miyazaki quote where he's like, anime was a mistake. You know, he's just sucking on a cigarette. H.R. Giger is like,
I love anime.
Oh my God.
But it looks like somebody put an anime in a, you know, and I don't mean like the usual tentacle stuff. Like, it's like all weird, bulbous, chitiny. Like it's a circus big top, and we see a room full of cages. And yeah, there's weird cylinders, but it's like a circus. But there's got to be bathrooms. And so somebody was like, what's the bathroom like in an evil circus? And what are the shower facilities like? And they're like, weird pod that's stuck in the middle of an organic wall.
The bath mat is made of human flesh.
Oh my, gross.
I can't. Is that what he sounds like? I can't remember.
I don't know.
Fisheye is scrubbing away and says, "Geez, cats. When I take over the world, I'm getting rid of all the cats." Uh-huh. She's not a cat person.
Apparently not.
She's a fish person.
Yes.
Fish's hands are normal here, too.
Oh, really?
So I guess they wear gloves.
They wear fish-scaled gloves?
Yeah, which is like...
That's weirder.
I'm a little bit sadder. I love the...
Look, or is it a mistake?
Fish-scale gloves is weird.
Yeah.
It's a shower scene. You know that they put all kinds of attention and detail into
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I suppose
they
you're right.
They got that pants' leg.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, stop doing it. But I'm a little sad that they're just not like a... I don't know. There's a lot of luck going on with this character.
Yes.
But they're not like a beautiful person, but just like with weird hands. That would be cool. Anyway, that's not what it is. Not what it is. They're gloves.
Okay.
We go to a commercial. Because why not? Again, you don't cut from a shower scene into a commercial. At Hikawa Shrine, Chibi is telling the collected squad and the cats that Mr. Kitakata has been going to the forest every day. Mm-hmm. So multiple days have gone by.
Yeah.
And Diana adds that his facial expression has changed. The girls think, I don't know. I mean, we live in a crazy world. Maybe she is a fairy.
Yeah, right.
I fought a lady man out of a bike the other day. And Diana comments that she didn't smell like a human. Okay, now this is constructive.
Yes.
You got something here, Di. Mm-hmm. How come you guys never smelled any monsters, Luna and Artemis?
Come on.
Diana says, she actually smelled like a fish. There it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe you can eat her, Diana. Help us all out.
Oh, no.
Usagi says, I know. She's the fish fairy.
Oh, my God.
What? What'd I say?
No.
This is where we are. This seems incredibly idiotic, but slowly the girls once again think, it's a crazy world. Maybe she's the fish fairy.
Right. That's true.
The fact that one of the cats doesn't go, yes, I remember now that there were fish fairies. That should tip them off that they're on the wrong track.
You're right.
But they don't have time for that because Ray starts flipping through the fairy book and she sees Mr. Kitakata on the book jacket. And she's kind of blushing. Mm-hmm. And Minako's like, hold on.
Yeah.
We share smut in this family. What's up?
Yeah, right.
Oh, the author's kind of handsome.
Yep.
All the girls crowd around to drool over this guy who looks like, he looks like a We'll Call You from a 90s How to Use the Internet video casting.
Yes.
But anyway, Usagi's like, let me see. But the girls are like, you've got Mamoru.
Yeah.
The girls leap up and Minako says, I think we need to go check out this forest with Mr. Kitakawa.
Yeah.
And the cats roll their eyes, which I don't think cats can do because cats will be doing it all the time.
Yes.
All cats will be doing it all the
time. That's true.
And Chibi wonders if Kit Kat is okay. Back at the Neon Bar, Fisheye sits at the bar doing their makeup while humming Moonlight Densetsu.
I know.
This is Link.
It's in the world of the show.
I know, but where did they hear it? And this is worse than there being a fish fairy. I feel like the girls, I'm so unmoored right now.
Like, and Fisheye's a villain, too. How does the villain know the theme song of the show?
I don't know. Tiger and Hawk just watch them in silence. Come on, guys. You know you have makeup on. You're wearing makeup right now.
I know.
And Fish is looking pretty good to him right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we win this. Mm-hmm. We just have them have an orgy in the bar, and then they'll feel really weird about each other later, and no more Amazon Trio.
Okay.
Like Fleetwood Mac.
Sure. Oh, my God.
But funny thing enough, they did some of their best music while all that was going on.
Oh, really?
Rumors.
Oh, okay. Sure.
But yeah. It was really true.
Oh, my God. I fell for it.
That's a Concord's joke.
Okay.
You may be dead.
Maybe did what?
Fish says, I wonder if this lipstick is too gaudy. I don't know. What do fairies wear? Burr fairy? I can do better. Safari?
Safari? Oh, great.
Fashion fairy?
Fashion fairy, sure.
I had to Google that.
Oh, really?
Fashion fair. It's a makeup brand.
Okay.
Sailor Moon, a show where a fish person of indeterminate gender can wonder if their lipstick is too gaudy. Back to the forest, Minako, Makoto, Rei, and Ami are walking through the forest looking for the lake. And Usagi has overslept and is not with them. And Chibi apparently stayed behind to, I don't know, nurse her back to health or something. And they might be lost.
Mm-hmm.
At the lake, the fairy and Kit Kat are splashing around. And he thinks...
We're are laughing.
Yeah, they're having fun. You know, it's like a montage. And he thinks, can you read my mind? No, he thinks, could you really be a fairy? And Fisheye thinks, I can read your mind, and you're in for a surprise. He chases her around a tree and catches her, and he says, if you don't behave, you'll be sorry. What?
That's weird.
I thought he was Kit Kat, not Baby Ruth.
Yeah, whoa.
He's got her pinned on the ground, and he says, you promised. Tell me who you are. And I know I'm painting it kind of darkly, but everybody's having a good time here.
They are having a good time.
Complete false pretenses aside of him trying to find out if she's a fairy and her trying to get his soul, they're having fun.
That's true.
This is consensual fun.
Correct.
It's just, again, it's a little more of an adult situation than we've had in Sailor Moon previously.
I agree.
And if we cut away from this, it would be a bang cut.
Yes,
the
definitely.
The fairy says, I have something to ask you before that. Tell me a dream. And he says, my dream is to see... This is such a stupid dream.
A lot of them
My dream is to see the true form of all plants in the world. What? But now I know my dream was to meet you. Good save.
Yeah.
And she says, I want to see that dream.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I'll show you. And I told my folks about you.
I know.
I didn't write that. That's in the show.
I know. It's like too much, dude.
That was all he says. My dad thinks it's a little early, but I don't care. Marriage? But then it's his way. He's like, LOL, JK, land the plane here, Kit Kat. Do you want it or not? As he says this, he sees a broken flower under the fairy, and she gets up and says, oh, no, my dress. I have to get it to the cleaners right away.
I know.
Kit Kat thinks back to his conversation with Chibi. And how she said that fairies would be friends with flowers and animals.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I guess I was mistaken. What?
I know.
This guy's got an invitation to the Sealing Court. And he's like, oh, well, I guess she's not a fairy, though. This is literally voluntary celibacy.
Yes.
If this was a movie,
you are correct.
He would be a perfect guy. They'd be getting along, but he'd have some personal belief or something that he'd have to get past so that they can have a relationship.
Yes.
There's a movie. I'm going to spoil a dumb movie for everybody.
Oh, okay, go for it.
Called Wild Mountain Time, which stars Emily Blunt and the aforementioned Jamie Dornan.
Oh, my God.
And he is, I think it's like they're all supposed to be Irish, and Emily Blunt should have like, he actually is Irish, and his accent's terrible. And Emily Blunt should have a good shot at it, but does not pull it off.
Oh, no.
And he's a farm owner. It's like the dumb Banshees of in Sharon.
Okay.
And she's like a single mom or something. And they're going to get together. And they're about to get together. And he says, I have something to tell you. I'm a honeybee.
What?
And she's like, he says, sorry, I don't, I'm having trouble with the accent. You're a what? He thinks he's a honeybee.
What?
That's all I got. I could say that and you could say what all night long.
Not
that's
explained.
All I've got.
At all.
And so he has to get over that. That's what this is like. He's like, but you're not actually a fairy. And you're like, hold on here. Are we doing a romance? Are we doing a thing where I have to visit you in the hospital for a little bit, but then you're okay, and then we're going to have a romance? Is that what we're doing here?
Right, right.
But no, he's the hero in this.
I know.
Like, I know that she is a demon from the underworld, but he's the hero.
I know.
He's right for the wrong reasons. He's literally like, this girl isn't perfect. Non-fairy bitches ain't.
He's like, well, clearly we accidentally.
3 out of 10 would not bang.
Right.
On a flower.
Right, right. We accidentally hurt this flower. And because her reaction.
He gets up with the flower.
He's holding it.
And
he's
says,
cradling it.
Because your dress is more important to you, you aren't a fairy. Later. Is that like saying, like, should have taken the dress off?
Oh! Oh!
Doesn't get dirty.
Whoa.
My Lady Greensleeves.
Oh, my God.
You know the story behind Greensleeves?
No, I don't.
Henry VIII wrote Greensleeves.
Mm.
Henry VIII, everybody thinks about him as like the guy who's like, he is a triptych. Like, he's very wide, turkey leg. But like, he was that's all because, well, he did eat a lot and he lived a while. But he hurt himself and couldn't really exercise anymore because he was like a total Chad on the field. He was a jouster, a rider, and stuff like that. And he was in a band. He was a musician, and he wrote a lot of music. Yeah, I know. For the first couple seasons, that lippy guy, you know, with the Reese Myers, Jonathan Reese Myers or whatever.
Yeah.
Good casting.
Uh-huh.
But he didn't get fat for the end seasons.
Bad casting.
He's still like making
yeah,
eyes.
Right.
Not different. And he wrote Greensleeves, you know. He wrote that. And
okay.
The Greensleeves is supposed to be, people speculate, but it's supposed to be, he's singing about this lady who's, you know, not treating him right. But they've had sex on the grass, and so her
green sleeves
are green.
I see.
That or she's got a sinus infection, but you get the idea.
Gross.
Yeah. She's like, what? That flower is more important to you than me?
Mm-hmm.
And listen to these words. There's something wrong with you.
I know.
So you're going to die. A blue rug unfurls, and when it refurls, Fish is in their Michelin person outfit.
Yes.
1, 2, 3, he's on the board, and his mirror is out. And I'm actually relieved that he's got a mirror. I figured it was going to be a gazing ball or something.
What? Why?
I want money for that. I should be paid. I have to find something that is reflective, and it is somehow phallic. Nature, and I came up with a gazing ball. Why aren't you giving me money for this? Patreon.com/SailorNoob. But the mirror is still pink with a little bow. So, A, nice job reusing the design, animators. Don't work too hard.
Yeah.
But B, I kind of like that we've got a little dainty mirror in all of our souls.
Yeah.
Male or female. Usagi and Chibi see this from the bushes. Why were they late then? Usagi?
I don't know.
What? So just so they're separate? I guess Chibi knew how to
Chibi
get there?
Chibi knew how to get there.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, you got it.
Usagi says, wasn't a fairy. And Chibi's like, shut up! That's not important. We have to save him. And they transform. Fisheye says, give me a dream! And sticks their head in his mirror. It's a beautiful dream, but no Pegasus.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a beautiful dream? The plant thing, I guess.
Yeah,
right?
The plant thing, yeah.
And Kit Kat has got to get broken.
Fancy feast.
But hold it right there. For love and justice, we don't have a speech to crying fantasy sexism this week.
I know.
Go taking it easy on the gender nonconforming person or something?
I guess.
Fish says, you're those pumpkins that they were talking about. It's the same on the rewind. I looked it up.
Yeah.
She calls them pumpkins. I have no idea why. It's kind of funny. I don't know what's going on. I've accepted it at this point.
I think that's just what Tiger Eye originally called them, Tiger's Eye.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Come forth, Tsunawataru. And out of her shadow comes a pole. Keep talking, and climbing it is a dark green-skinned man in tights.
Uh-huh.
He says, hello, I'm Tsunawataru.
That's my name.
And Sailor Moon and Sailor Chibi say, I'm Sailor Moon, and I'm Sailor Chibi. Well,
it's your line, bad guy.
And the lemur tosses his pole, steady, to Sailor Moon. And from the ground, a tightrope appears and like it was a buried below the ground and whips Sailor Moon up skyward.
It's cool.
Usagi finds herself balancing precariously on this rope as Tsuna, it's like tuna, but it's like Tsuna.
Yes.
It's fake tuna. Tsuna. TM. Tsuna stands opposite her. They're tightrope fighting.
So hot right now.
Fish says, looks like he got this, and disappears through a ring of water. Tsuna says, you will experience a terror you've never felt. And she's like, lactose intolerance? No. No. She says, no. And he says, look, now I'm blindfolded. She's like, it's dangerous. This is like when you attack him. He's literally blindfolded himself.
Now, Sailor Moon.
He says, yes, very dangerous. Plus, I'm going to do some tricks. And he's like, whoa, he's balancing on the pole. He's making the rope swing back and forth. And he says, you're putting me in danger. And Tsuna says, are you scared? I'm scared too. I get off on this. And bam, a rose hits him in the back of the head.
I know, it's great. <Just like laughs>
From a tree, Tuxedo Mask says, to involve girls in dangerous situations, you're unworthy of being called a man. I don't know who he's talking to. We're going to let it slide. Tsuna is leaning pro. Who is he talking to?
He's talking to Tsuna.
But he's not a man. He's a spirit, a lemur, a shadow.
Yeah, well, he's you are a man like lemur. I don't know.
They're men first, shadow second.
Yes, you got it.
We're just normal men. We're just innocent men.
Suna is leaning precariously to one side and says, I'm going to fall. I won't lose this. Ah! And he and Sailor Moon both fall from the rope. He hits the ground directly while Sailor Moon is gracefully caught by Tuxedo Mask. TM says, now, Chibi Moon. And with a wave of her carillon and a twinkle, yeah, she summons Pegasus. Pegasus says, oh, did your author friend turn out to be a weirdo? You know, I've got this great book about Catherine the Great.
Oh, my God.
Why hold back at this point, right? Why hold back?
I know.
Sailor Moon gives the moon gorgeous meditation, and the lemur stages out for the last time. Mr. Kitakawa, call me Mr. Kitakawa, awakes to see Chibi, Usagi, and Mamoru overlooking him. He asks where his fairy is. Give it up, dude! She's at the dry cleaners. She told you.
Oh, my God.
And Mamoru says, maybe you were having a dream? Uh-huh. But Kit Kat says, I saw it. Plus a tightrope walking fairy and a fairy that rang a bell and called a Pegasus. Who was looking at her funny?
Oh, my God.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
This guy knows a lot.
He does.
Maybe Mr. Kitakawa doesn't make it out of this forest.
Oh, my God.
I got to worry about this
stuff. Do you think our heroes would ever off somebody?
Maybe there's a lake right here.
Oh, my gosh.
Hold them down to the bubble stop.
No.
Chibi is a dog with a bone, our Chibi, and she says, Mr. Kit Kat, I believe in those fairies. If you see them, introduce me to them. And he says, sure. And they laugh. Usagi thinks, wait, where are Rei and the others? And we cut to the girls in the forest, still lost. And Ami says, why don't we go home? I'm less horny than you guys are, and I think we should go home.
The voice of reason.
The others say, we're not giving up after all this. Mr. Kitakawa, your fairies are right here. It's weird.
It's weird, but I thought it was.
He's not that hot.
No, he's not. I thought it was funny that they said that. I think
we were due for this.
Yeah.
But him?
I know.
He's not that hot.
He's not.
And I don't mean to be like appearance-ist. Superficial? That's a word. I don't mean to be superficial.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, our girls are girls. Mm-hmm. They are girls. And they have been shown to be susceptible to the kind of things that, to celebrity, to, cool
all
hair.
All sorts of things. Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
But to this guy? And just to be fair,
it's like
this guy dresses like I do. So I'm being honest here. Like, this guy.
I know.
I love that they actually pulled off the dream thing, but they didn't even know they were doing it. We always ask, what do these people think happened?
Yes.
And they never hardly even bother to try and cover it up. This guy just offers them. You know, he's like, what? I saw some fairies and I saw a horse flying through the air. And Mamoru just barely is like, oh, this is probably a dream. And then that's it. And then, but Chibi, like, I love how Chibi's like, she will murder a monster and its blood will be on her face and she'll go back to her Legos. Do you know what I mean? Like, she has got the Usagi, her whole arc up to this point, God knows where she is now, has been, how do I balance the halves of my life where I'm a 14-year-old and I'm a superhero that needs to save the world?
Yeah.
And Chibi's done. That's a class that she took in her learning bed when she was, 2 years old in the future.
Right.
Because she will just murder a monster and then immediately going back to Duplo and just like, I'm fine. So they go through this whole thing. She watches her mother/sister/cousin nearly die with a tightrope guy and then murder a man in a elf hat.
Yes.
And then she's like, but the fairies, though, fairies are pretty great because she's right back into it. And I love that, like, it's not single-minded because she's double-minded. She can do two things at once. Get you a child that can do both. We're going to cut that part out.
Okay.
We're going to cut what I said out.
Today for Kiro Kiro Miru, or Curiously Looking Around, where we talk about elements of Japanese culture within the episode, we're going to talk about circuses in Japan.
Ringu, but good.
Yeah, right.
Three Ringu.
Yeah, three Ringu.
The sequel to Ringu and Ringu 2, three Ringu.
Hopefully not as scary as Ringu, although your mileage with clowns might vary.
Opens up the cage.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Here comes Samara. Whoopsh, whoopsh.
Oh,
back.
That's terrifying. Her hair whips you.
When you go to this circus, you die after 7 days.
Oh, my God. That's pretty awful.
You hear that? What is that?
It's like Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Oh, don't get me started. Don't get you started.
I know. Anyways, so the Japanese circus arts, largely acrobatics as well as contortionism, juggling, etc., thrived during the Edo period. Many of these artistic techniques originated in China or India and were brought to Japan by Buddhist priests and ascetics. I mean, I don't think that that's super surprising that they came over from mainland Asia.
But like circus priests?
Buddhist priests traveled a lot. So I think that...
Yeah, but like, hey, everybody, I want to tell you about the Buddha. And also, I'm going to juggle these knives while I do it. Like what?
Well, like, especially, like, the acrobatics and the contortionism
okay.
and
yeah,
stuff
well,
like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, like Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
Like the Peking Opera
right.
performance.
Right, right. Yeah, okay. Maybe he's going to tell you about the Buddha while he's doing flips and stuff like that. I don't know.
So, I think about Buddha. He's really enlightened. And he's achieved, he's sat under a tree.
I need to sit down for a minute. Hold on.
Take over for me.
Yeah. Hayatake Korakichi led an acrobatic troupe that specialized in a technique known as kyukuzashi, where Torikichi would place bamboo poles on his shoulders and other performers would balance on top of them, and they would juggle or do quick jumps from one bamboo pole to another, that sort of thing.
And people would go, wow.
Yeah.
And then they'd throw, Sue or in the... Not Sue. This is in France.
What?
A Ryu into a bucket.
Right. But it was really, really popular.
I have a Sue.
What's a Sue?
It's like a penny, a French penny.
Oh, okay. All right.
Pre-Euro.
I was like, you said throw a Sue, and I was like picturing a lady whose name was Sue. I was like, I'm very confused.
Boy, well, there are boys named. Are there boys named Rio? So there could be a
Ryo.
Boy. There could be a boy Ryo. Named Sue.
Yeah, there you go.
A Sue is like a penny, and a Rio is like $50. Those are the
True.
Stamped gold things.
Yes, I know. All I right, know what they are.
This doesn't make any sense at all.
Anyways, Torikichi's Osaka-based troupe started performing sometime during the 1830s or 1840s. And in 1857, they began a nationwide tour in Edo. So this is actually this is during the Edo period, what I'm talking about. The precision at which they performed the kyokuzashi garnered them many fans. Torikichi's kyokuzashi was so popular that it captured the interest of ukiyo-e artist Utagawa Yoshiharu, who created several pieces of the performer doing various pole acrobatic tricks. And I'm sure some of them were like, oh, this actually happened. And others were just like, this is just fun.
That's a metaphor.
This looks cool. Yeah. So, but they're really cool looking. During the Edo period, Japan had many circus-like troupes, but they were all very specialized, if that makes sense, and none of them had the variety of acts that Western circuses of the mid-1800s had.
Okay.
So it was like, we are an acrobatic troupe, or we are a juggling troupe, or apparently being really good at spinning a lot of tops, there was like troupes that were good at that.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Hey.
It?
They don't got TV.
No. So, yeah. In 1864, an American circus was given permission to perform in Yokohama that was led by Richard Risley Carlisle, who frequently performed as Professor Risley, which is how I will continue to refer to him. Professor Risley was an American gymnast and acrobat. He is known for developing a circus act of juggling with the feet, known as the Risley Act. Creative name. So,
read this guy the Risley Act.
Professor Risley was recognized as the first Western professional acrobat in Japan. Risley Circus was on the small side. The troupe consisted of 10 artists and 8 horses, but Japan was taken by the Western-style circus.
Okay.
As a serial entrepreneur, Professor Risley, he stayed in Japan for a while, and he saw an opportunity to develop a dairy business in the recently opened port of Yokohama. After importing a small herd of cows from San Francisco and ice from Harbin, China, he sold milk and gained renown as the first seller of ice cream in Japan. Not only is he Mr. Circus, but he's also Mr. Ice Cream.
Well, slow down.
Yeah.
You got to leave some misters for the rest of us.
I know. This guy was he just was like, I'm bored. What's next? You know what this place needs?
You know,
some dairy cows.
You can't flip all day.
I know.
I put the ice stuff together and I flip around and then it makes the ice cream.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of doing the pounding of, well, that's butter. Wait, how do you make ice cream?
You churn ice
cream. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm doing tumbling, flipping rolls.
Exactly.
Delicious ice cream.
Delicious.
So yeah, I guess they didn't, they had milk, like maybe goat's milk or something like that, right? Milk was a pretty new thing.
Is a good question.
Yeah, breast milk.
Oh, yes.
No, we have ice cream.
Oh my God.
Can I have some? I don't think you want it.
No. I don't know if there were goats were native to Japan or not. That's a really good question.
They had yaks and stuff.
I'm sure they had some.
Look, all humans have seen milk before, but not like imported in like big metal jugs.
Right.
Like, whoa, that's a lot of milk.
Right. Right.
And like, freeze it?
Yeah.
White people.
I know. You know what this place needs? Dairy.
Frozen milk.
Yeah. I mean, and now, you know, Hokkaido is known for its dairy cows and has a lot of dairy. And
sure.
So, yeah, there you go. In 1866, Professor Risley united several Japanese entertainment acts, including the Hama Ikari Sadakichi troupe, who performed tricks with their feet. The Matsui Kijujiro's top spinning artists, I told you, and the Sumidagawa Namigoro's conjuring and juggling artists, and took them to America under the banner of the Japan Imperial Artists Company. The troupe had their East Coast debut in Philadelphia and performed there for a month in 1867 and had additional performances in San Francisco and New York. The circus was very successful and the first of many Japanese circus acts to tour outside of Japan. They then traveled to Western Europe, where they toured extensively for the next 2 years, performing in Great Britain, France, the Netherlands, Portugal, Spain, etc. Huh. And supposedly, members of the Japan Imperial Artists Company were the first group of Japanese citizens to receive official government permission to travel overseas after Japan reopened its borders.
Huh.
And I also read, so as you know, we know, we've talked about before, like this is a big time after Japan opened up the West was very taken with Japan and very interested in all things Japanese, but the Japanese were also interested in all things Western. But the Japanese circus troops touring all over the world also helped create more interest and curiosity about Japan.
This guy wasn't just Mr. Circus and Mr. Ice Cream, although, you know, the treats were probably good at the performances. He was like the Vince McMahon of this whole thing. Because he's like, I'm going to unite all the territories.
Yes!
And all the things under my own thing.
You're right.
Yeah, and then we're going to go tour and, you know, and be the most exciting thing in juggling entertainment.
That's right.
Matsui screwed Matsui. Yeah, it's like, you know, they're carnies.
Yeah. No, that's what they are.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Seeing the success that the Japan Imperial Artist Company was having abroad, several Japanese-led troops like Kanawari of Fukumatsu's troop and Torikata Kosanakichi's company chose to tour overseas as well. The touring of all of these Japanese troops abroad led to some romantic drama. In the late 1860s, it was revealed that the popular young male lead performer of the Kanawari troupe had a secret romance with a lady shamisen player from the Japan Imperial Company. The Kanawari troupe sent a letter to the public apologizing for the secret romance.
What? Why?
Why was this so scandalous for the mid-1800s? Well, several months later in London, the couple welcomed a baby girl.
Ding dong.
Yeah, I don't know if they were married, so the baby was said to be the first Japanese baby born...
to be able to do backflips while playing the guitar. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I like that. Was said to be the first Japanese baby born abroad since Japan had closed its borders. So...
You know, that's entirely possible.
Right.
It's definitely the first one that was recorded.
Right.
I mean, you'd think the second that somebody, there had to be, I don't know, some Disney princess, and they can make this movie if they want. I'll give it to them for free. But the second they shot that starter pistol in the air and was like, all right, whatever, you can go whatever, do it. Somebody had to hop a boat. There had to be people who were just like, I got to get out of here. Like, I want to go somewhere else. And then, you know, you meet somebody. But that's like, that makes sense.
Yeah. Like you said, recorded and as far as we know. So, yeah.
What happened to them?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
That's where the story ends.
You know, the children of famous people are worthless, aren't they?
But it's interesting, though, because like that was like, I was like, should I include this? I don't know if I should. Is this interesting? And then like, but it was like, it showed up in like multiple of my sources. And it was just like, wow, this romance. <It's> like, okay.
Were these like original sources written by gossip columnists from the Victorian era?
I mean, like a lot of.
Mr. X dash was seen with Miss Y dash.
Well, I mean, it's not necessarily like this is dry historical.
Because he would be like, you know, Zhao or something.
Oh.
And she would be. You know, they always have like Mr. M.
Yes.
You know, was seen at the salon.
Yes.
But I was trying to pick like two letters that would be like a Chinese or a Japanese person.
Okay. No, I get what you're saying. I know exactly what you're saying now. Yeah.
Well.
That makes sense.
You know, you miss 100% of the jokes that you don't try to tell.
You are absolutely correct. So there were other, I don't know if you call them other Mr. Circuses or
how many Mr. Circuses are there?
Well, there were other like circuses that came from the West that were influential on Japan.
Okay. Look, if the Barnum and Bailey people rolled in like after like Mr. Circus was done, whatever, that's fine.
Right. Right.
I don't have to hear about them.
Well, it's not Barnum and Bailey. The Cirque Soleil toured Japan from 1871 to 1872, and they opened in Yokohama. Louis Soleil's French equestrian troupe was the first equestrian show to perform in Meiji period Japan. The troupe took part in the Kyoto World Exposition, which was a world fair that happened in 1872 in Japan. In Kyoto, obviously. And the human performers had such skill and speed with the horses that they completed various tricks like passing through rings of fire, like on horseback. And the troupe was well known for their daring equestrian stunts and aerial acrobatics. And you can get an idea of like how... taken Japan was with a lot of these Western circus acts because there has been a lot of art that was done and has survived to this day. There are some beautiful, like these were ads, but they're like beautiful painting, like artistic ads for the circus from the Japanese tour. And it's just really cool to see.
Huh.
The tour.
Horses.
What?
Well, this is a long boat ride for a horse.
I know,
but
right?
If there are already horses who are like willing to go through rings of fire, these horses are like, you hold a cigarette between your hooves. Like,
no!
Yeah, I've been to 6 continents now. Yeah, you know, the oats in Japan, they're pretty good. A little soy in them. Tapped ash out on them. Not in the hay, not in the hay. Like, these horses, they don't care. They're fearless.
No, you're right. Okay, well, how about a third Mr. Circus round out the three ring.
So we've got Vince McMahon, we've got Eric Bischoff, and this is Paul Heyman.
Okay, all right. So all of you wrestler folks out there will
there's
get
more
that.
Than you'd think.
Oh, yeah, I know.
There are dozens of us.
I know. I know Vince McMahon. I don't know the other two. Anyways, the tour of Giuseppe Sciarrini's Royal Italian Circus to Japan during 1886 and 1887 was perhaps even more influential than the Cirque Soleil. Sciarrini's circus captured imaginations with its menagerie of animal performers, horses, elephants, tigers, monkeys, cattle, and raccoons. Because you got to have raccoons.
You know, aren't the Japanese like, oh, you want to see ours?
The tanuki.
Boing.
Oh, my God. Yeah, good point. I don't know.
Have you ever seen a raccoon feel inadequate before? I gotta go wash some fish.
No, I can't stop it.
They wash the food.
They do. They do wash
their food.
Even
if they catch a fish, they're yes. like, oh, you know what, better wash this.
You never know where it's been. Chiarini's promoted itself as, quote, the most colossal combination troupe in the world, containing 25 star performers and 30 highly trained horses and ponies.
Huh.
So, even more horses.
Yeah. Wow.
Chiarini's circus performed in Tokyo for Emperor Meiji. Apparently, it was the first time that the emperor had seen a circus. But he was so thoroughly impressed. The emperor was so entertained by this performance that he gave Chiarini $5,000 in gold.
Whoa!
And this is Meiji era. We're talking
That's
about.
Meiji money.
That's Meiji money. That's a lot.
What, you just like, hey, nice horse. You're a millionaire.
I think he was just like completely in awe and like, wow, what a great showman. I am so entertained.
They did do stuff like that, though.
Yeah.
Like when the white guy crashed the Navigator, they're like, yeah, pretty great. Oh, this guy's pink. Well, you're a samurai now. Right? Sometimes they would just go like, I don't know. Here's a castle.
I guess.
the Oprah-ing of the Meiji era.
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, part of it, too, right, like you were saying, is we're really excited to have Westerners there. And
we've got a lot of stuff.
Apparently.
We're not going to run out of stuff anytime soon.
Yeah. And we're just super excited, and we're very entertained, and we want people to keep coming back. Hey, I gave you $5,000. Maybe the next guy will get even more. I don't know. I don't know what the... Probably not. I just think it's kind of neat that
they
happened.
They probably got $10 to do the whole show with all the...
No, you're
the
right.
...horses and stuff. And then you're he's right. like, this guy, though, that... I have never seen a horse dance better than that.
Well, that is a really, really
good
point.
Back up the truck.
That is a really, really good point because it's his... Well, let me... It was his circus, but, and everything that I read, it said that the emperor gave the money to him. I don't know if that was dispersed at all through the other performers or if he just pocketed it all.
It trickled down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Till you beat the dead horse.
Oh, boy. Okay. Chiarini's was so popular that it inspired Kawatake Mokuami's kabuki play. Entitled Nari Hibiku Chiarini no Kyokuba. And there are several ukiyo-e prints depicting Chiarini Circus, and one of them is advertising this kabuki play as well.
Okay.
So, and this was like a type of play, I think we talked about this when we talked about Kabuki, but there are plays that would be written off of things that like just recently happened, like yeah. in recent events.
Yeah.
Like, remember that circus that was in town last month? Here's a play.
The barbecue festival. Yes. We're never gonna forget.
Exactly. Itadakimasu with Usagi. What did Usagi eat in this episode? When Diana smells Fish Eye's feet, she wonders why their feet smell kind of delicious, which is really creepy, Diana.
I have my questions, but I will accept weird extra dimensional person who has chosen fish as a name is part fish.
Yeah, I think that's...
Do they have gills?
I don't think so. Just the fish.
Have we talked about their third
glow.
Eyes yet?
What?
This is so modern TV storytelling. Don't sandbag me. Tell me all about the bad guys right now. It's fascinating. I want to know about them. It's going to enrich my enjoyment of them. But you hold this stuff back until the end for no good reason. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, let's get this information out here.
Okay. All right.
I want that.
All right.
Beryl, she's got a cocktail party. It's full of monsters, and mm-hmm. she's going to send them out. Now we keep there's a little fig leaf. Oh, apparently we're all from the past, and we're reincarnated or whatever. Okay, fine. But that doesn't really, that just deepens it. It doesn't change anything.
Right.
Don't hold anything back. These guys just show up. They're an evil circus. And they hang out in a bar.
Right.
I like it.
Yeah.
But I want to know more.
I know.
But instead, they're just molesting ladies, and we never learn anything about them. And this one's a fish for some reason who yep. does not conform to gender. I am teased.
I know.
I am appetized.
Right.
Give me the meal.
I have the cocktail. Give me the meal.
Itadaki me.
Oh my God.
Wait, am I eating or being eaten?
Yeah, I don't know. And then, of course, Usagi comes to the logical conclusion that the woman from the lake must be a fish fairy.
Yeah.
So, of course.
Makes total sense.
Fish fairy.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that.
Right. That's page 57 in that book.
Yes. Villain gauge, where you rate a baddie 1 to 5 dark stars, 5 being the most wicked. The lemur in this episode is named Tsunawataro, the tightrope walker.
Yeah.
His name is a play on the Japanese word for tightrope walking, which is,
okay.
Yeah, I know, which is Tsunawatari. But the last part of the term is in his name is modified to the verb wataru, which means to cross, from its stem form watari to its volitional form wataro, which means let's cross. So basically, it's like
it's an imperative.
Yeah.
Or saying like we'll do this.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
I just think they just thought
cross, like cross
cool.
a rope?
Yes.
Or like cross a street?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's part of his, like, he needs her to, she's part of the act now. He's not just going to do, shooting himself in a cannon.
Yeah. We're
going like,
to cross.
We're doing this.
Yes.
And don't you like, it's dangerous. Help, I'm scared. Me too. Okay. No, that,
I
perfect.
Recruited you.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
God, it's such a versatile language.
It is.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of like, How do you make a name that means that in English? You can't.
I don't know that you can. It's and it's so
Mr.
easy.
Mr. Die with me.
Yeah, right. So this is, of course, the first lemur for Fisheye that we've seen. And for all of their lemurs, Fisheye uses the honorific of Kun, which is a little less formal than San, which is what... Hawk's Eye uses and is also typically used for men. So, and the lemur design, he has green skin, pointy ears, short lime green hair and eyebrows, which was kind of interesting seeing the lime green with the darkish teal green, blue eyes, pink lips, and he is wearing essentially a black Speedo with a red waistline and red suspenders over white tights that have pointed toes with a red ball on the end. And he's also wearing white wrist warmers and a black knit hat with a red spade on it and a red ball at the end of it. So, yeah. And
it's
then
not like any circus costume that I can think of.
It no. No, I mean, maybe you'd have like a big cummerbund thing or something like that. But
wait, what?
I don't.
That's circus formal.
the ringmaster. I don't know. But yes, yeah, circus formal. So then our rating. I like that his power is to make Sailor Moon walk the tightrope with him. And I love how it first appears. I thought that that was really cool. I guess I feel like we don't really get a lot of time with him, and we don't really get to see a lot of his tricks besides walking the tightrope, like, blindfolded. So I'm going to give him a 2 out of 5 star.
It's every time it's just like, what? It's like in Top Gun when they're trying to lock on to the MiG in front of them, you know, and their jet's moving, the MiG is moving, and the circle's going, and I got solid tone. Birds away.
What?
I never get solid tone. In my head, it's just a spinning tumbler of numbers from 1 to 5. And I'm listening. I'm like, it's good, but it's bad. It's bad. Okay, it's coming to 3. Is it 3? Is it 4? It's 1, 2, 3. Okay. 2.
All right.
4.
Okay.
And I shouldn't. I'm in trouble now.
Oh, my gosh.
I really shouldn't, because I think by criteria that I usually go by, he didn't do a lot of stuff.
Right.
But God dang it, he's got personality. You know what I mean? And I love a buffoon. This kid has no idea what he's doing. I love it.
Yeah.
And do they come out of the lemur factory broken or something? Why is he completely unable to do? It's like Gigi. Gigi's just too insane.
Yeah.
To get things done.
Yeah.
Or I don't remember the one that was really crazy. He's like, I need to summon a lemur so badass that it won't listen to me and it'll run all over town.
Oh yeah, no, I remember that.
This is like that. It's like his very special skill. Very special skill that is completely worthless for killing girls in tutus.
Yeah.
But you know what? He went the whole way and he played out his act and he did it. He's there to perform. You know, he's a performing man. Yeah. Too good for this world.
He's
solid green.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
It
like
is
like
weird.
Gumby. Like Gumby with a tan. it was just something different.
It was.
Good at 4.
Okay. Take a bow or a rating of how the villains left the stage of life. Besides Sunoa Taro being the first male lemur, I feel like there's not a whole lot of variation here. So I'm going to give this a 2 out of 5.
This is a 2.
Yeah.
There's nothing different vocally and
no,
just
not
another,
really.
You know, still image. So yeah, I mean, you know, it's not great.
No.
Doesn't distinguish it.
No. Now we're up to our rating. I like that Chibi somehow conned Usagi into buying that fairy book for her. That was pretty great. And then also, like I said before, I think it's kind of cute how excited Fisheye is about Mr. Kitakata, you know, ignoring all the future victim stuff.
It was Shades of Mehmet.
Yeah.
Where Mehmet's like, oh,
yes.
He's so dreamy.
Right.
Too bad I have to kill him.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I like that Diana thinks that Fisheye's feet smell kind of delicious and Fisheye hates cats. I mean, it makes sense. If a bunch of cats smelled your feet, probably hate cats,
if
too.
If she's showering so vigorously, are they showering so vigorously to get rid of the fish smell or to get rid of the touch of cat?
The touch of cat or the cat smell
is
what I think. That's how I interpreted it.
The special cat shampoo is in the corner.
Yeah, exactly. I love the bit with Rei, Mako, and Minako where they all say part of a sentence that Usagi already has Mamoru. I just felt like that was a classic Sailor Moon moment.
Yeah.
So I really liked that.
Finishing each other's sandwiches.
Exactly. I like that Mr. Kitakata is upset. I seriously laughed, though, that him and Fisheye have accidentally squashed a flower, but Fisheye is upset that their dress might be ruined. I laughed. The dream is over.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah. We don't mess around with fabrics.
No, or people who crush flowers either.
Yeah, right.
And I did enjoy how Rei says your fairy Rei is right here, even though it's ridiculous at the same time. There are parts of this that I really liked, even though there are parts of it that were really creepy. And stop, Chibi, stop talking to strange men. Just stop it. Stop it! So I feel like I'm being generous. I'm going to give, and maybe it's just because they've been so bad. I'm going to give this one 3 out of 5 roses.
I got it. Oh, thank God. I was right. The birds are away.
Oh, okay.
We have a hit.
All right.
4.
Really?
I shouldn't. And
you
I
shouldn't.
Honestly, I've done this before. I don't know what's going on. It's a Dagwood sandwich, and I don't know if it hangs together. It's straining mightily against that toothpick with the olive. Which, how long is this toothpick when he makes these sandwiches?
I don't know.
It's not good very long.
Question.
The sandwich is 3 feet tall. It's so one toothpick in time.
Yeah.
Does that constitute a joke? but there's enough going on here that it is pleasing, mm-hmm. even though I'm not sure what's happening. And I have a feeling that we're going right back into the trenches after this. And so I got to get it while I can.
Yes,
like
exactly.
Janis Joplin. Mm-hmm. Get it while you can. And I'm going to give it a 4.
Well, my English title, I was trying a little alliteration this time.
Okay.
Is Faux Fairy Friendship Fane.
Oh, okay.
Too Englishy makes not a lot of sense
don't
at
think
all.
That, we've talked about alliteration in Japanese and whether they have it, and we're not sure. So
I think they probably do.
Do they do a thing where they're like, this character kind of looks like this character? Let's. Do you know what I mean?
What?
How much of the picture idea is left? Because like in English, we're like, oh, it's all they're all F's, even though these words don't. You know, it's like a V for Vendetta with the speech where they're all V's or whatever. Dumb. But do they like go, oh, this is like the tree one, and this one also kind of looks like a tree. Let's see if we can put these together and like make a poem out of this.
That is a really
you know what? You tell us next time.
Question.
Once again, I'm sending us off on a tangent. My title for me is I almost wimped out on this one.
Okay.
I'll just give it away. I almost went with Nerd on a Wire. but I realized that like he's not a jongleur. That's a juggler. Like the, what's the fancy name for a tightrope walker? Like the tightrope walker
great
guy.
Great question. I don't know.
And like the people who were just throwing everything at the wall, spaghetti, kitchen sink, everything at the wall, trying to make some humor for this episode, I had to give it some more. And so... for that reason, I came up with Stave to Love.
What?
I said, I've talked about Brian Ferry before.
Yes.
And a stave.
Oh, instead of a slave.
Yes. And a stave is a length of wood that, like a pole.
Okay.
Is a stave.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Stave to Love.
Okay. Next episode will be another edition of Shore Leave.
Yeah. Taking a little break.
Yes.
We had a one where, it was a 31-day month, and then it got started in such a way that we got a couple shows in there. So,
yeah.
Well-deserved break for next time. But until next time, don't take a break on checking out what we've got online with our social media and also our Discord. Always good. We're talking about burying people or something. There's a lot of weird conversations happening in the Discord right now.
Go a lot of places.
Eventually, they go towards anime and towards nerd topics. And we've actually got a couple new channels that we plan on sticking in there to talk specifically about those things. And so we'll be doing that in the future. Stop by. Link in the show notes. Also, you can always find us at Sailor Noob or Noob_Sailor, wherever you look for us. Look for us in the forest with the fairies.
Come alone.
I know they're real.
With your cat.
Bring your cat.
So you're not alone.
And lick your feet. We went that whole time and we didn't talk about clapping at all.
A clap if you believe in fairies.
Unbelievable. I don't believe that we didn't talk about clapping. And I never finished that Yeats poem either.
Oh, no.
You know what?
Do I know it?
You ever seen AI? That's where most people know it from.
Oh, I have, but like a long time ago.
Come away, O human child, to the waters and the wild with a fairy hand in hand, for the world's more full of weeping than you can understand.
Hmm, it's beautiful.
No, it's sad.
It's very sad, but
they're going to steal this child away because... And then later on, the poem talks about all the things that he'll never see again but they're kind of like dumb things, but they're maybe like fun things. So he'll never see like mice eating the oats. He'll never see the leaves floating on the river. You know, they're taking him away.
What is the myth or the belief changelings. That like fairies are changelings? Yeah, they take the baby and they replace it. So
yeah. Oh, but they can just take a child though too.
Yeah.
It's your favorite, Stardust.
Yeah, I know. I like Stardust. I like the book. I didn't like the movie so much, but
it's tough to take. It's tough. Black humor is tough.
Yeah.
Look at Barbershop. Not his joke.
Not the same.
Black humor is tough. For Hollywood, it's really tough.
Yeah.
And then also unicorns. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's tough.
It is. I wish it was better. But anyways. Well, that's our show for this week. In the Name of the Moon, we'll be punishing you next week with another episode of Sailor Noob.